Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text from the Gospel reading. Jesus said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved, again came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." So they took away the stone. Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." This is our text. Where have you laid him? Where have you laid her? The longer we live, the more times that we've had to see our loved ones laid in the grave. Those numbers never get smaller, they always get larger the older we get. We have to remind ourselves, or we need God to remind us, that the grave is in fact a temporary measure. It was never meant to be a permanent place. Tombs are an invention after the fall into sin. And so it takes us right back to Genesis. "Of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for the day that you eat it, you shall surely die." But the woman was deceived by the devil, and she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, standing right by, and he ate. And you know the result. You see the result. You feel the result. The fruit of that eating was just what God had said: death. First for the soul, and then for the body. "For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." And these words have been ringing in our ears ever since Ash Wednesday, and we feel them in our bones. To dust. In Adam, all die. Death reigned. 5 words repeated throughout the Bible and recorded down through history. He died and was buried. Again and again and again. And 5 more. She died and was buried. And that's the world that we live in right now. Death hanging over the whole world like a dark cloud. Oppressive, stifling, leading us to weep and mourn. The prophet Ezekiel was hauled by the Spirit out to a valley filled with dry bones. I picture a field of World War I that's been left to lie for a long time. And he's asked, "Can these bones live?" And he gives the only answer you can: "I have no idea. Lord, you know." And then death came for a friend, a man named Lazarus. Lazarus and his sisters Mary and Martha were close friends of Jesus. And death didn't strike immediately. It came first as sickness and laid him low. And the message was sent to Jesus: "Your friend is sick." And he didn't come. Not right away. Not soon enough. And death came for Lazarus first. Jesus knows what it's like to have a loved one put in the grave. He knows what it's like to see, to hear those words, "He died and was buried," because that was the message that came to him. And then he left for Bethany. His disciples thought he was staying away because Bethany is like next door to Jerusalem, and the leaders in Jerusalem were not all that keen on Jesus. Things were getting hotter and hotter, and the disciples knew if he goes back there, it could be the end. And when Jesus knows that Lazarus is in the grave, he says, "Let's go. Let's go to the house of death. Let's go to the place where the loved ones are buried in the grave." And he makes his way there. And on the way to the grave, he meets Mary and Martha, these two beautiful sisters of Lazarus, deeply sad. And these two women speak some of the most true words of the scriptures. They believe two things that are true. They just don't quite get how they go together. It's Martha first. "If you had been here, our brother would not have died." Mary later, "If you had been here, Lord, our brother would not have died." The people watching and listening, "Couldn't the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have also kept this man from dying?" And you know what the answer is, right? The answer is yes. He could have stopped Lazarus from dying. He opened the eyes of the blind man. He could heal the sick. But it feels like he came too late. Lazarus has already been in the grave 4 days. It's not going to matter now. "Don't roll that stone away. It's going to smell like death." If only you had been there. How many times have we prayed those words as well? "If only, Lord, you had cared for my loved one sooner. If only, when they got sick, you had heard our prayer and answered." The grief is real. And you know it, and I know it, and Mary knows it, and Martha knows it, and Jesus knows it too. The other thing that Martha says that's so amazing is she does confess something about what is coming. It's not only that her brother has died, but she also says, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Biblical scholars, skeptical biblical scholars, I should say, sometimes like to argue that the Old Testament doesn't know any hope of resurrection. But Martha, who has only the Old Testament scriptures at this point, clearly says, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." She gets it. Jesus, you could have stopped him when he was sick. You could have saved him. "And I know that he will rise again on the last day." These two true things. But you know what she doesn't get? She doesn't get that these two things come together in Jesus. She doesn't get what Jesus tells her next. Some of my favorite words in all of Scripture. "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." "I am the resurrection and the life." He didn't say that after he raised Lazarus from the dead. He said it before he raised Lazarus. And we hear those words too. Whenever we have a funeral, how many of them have you been to here? Casket, right in the front. Pastor comes down, standing near the casket, and says, "I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." And you are faced with a decision in that moment. And the decision is this. Are you going to believe that what you see is final? The loved one in the grave, in the tomb. Or are you going to believe what you hear is final? Are you going to believe what your eyes are telling you? Or are you going to believe what your ears are filled with, the very words of Jesus? Jesus says this before the resurrection on the last day. It's not only that we are waiting for the resurrection on the last day. What we are waiting for is the person of Jesus Christ. And he has come in the flesh, as he came to Mary and Martha. And he comes to you, hidden, veiled. You can't see him. Again, it's a matter not of the eyes, but of the ears. He comes to you in his word. He comes to you in this sacrament. He says, I am the resurrection and the life, not sometime down in the future, right now, right here, today, for you. If only you had been here. I know he will rise again on the last day. And these two things come together in Jesus. They don't get it. That Jesus is the one in whom there is healing from sickness, victory over death, resurrection on the last day, and hope for those who are in grief. Hope for those who mourn. Hope for those who feel like life is simply one killing field of dry bones. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And it's all connected to him, and it's all connected to his death and his grave and his resurrection. You see, when Jesus called Lazarus out of the grave, it wasn't so that the grave would remain empty, it was so that the grave would be ready for the next body to go in. Because he knew the next body to go in the grave was a body that death could not handle. Was a body that death could not keep. Was a body that would mean the end of death, because when it swallowed that body, it would have to vomit him up again. Jesus died, and on the third day, he rose again. And the little crack in death's armor that began to appear with the raising of Lazarus, there's this little shake within the whole order of things when Lazarus is called from the dead, and death begins to say, maybe I don't quite have the grip on these bodies that I think I have. The little crack that began there bursts wide open when Jesus raises from the dead. Remember what St. Paul has said. He is the first fruits of those who will rise from the dead. The first fruits, because there are more to follow. All those graves that we've stood near, all those bodies that we've seen brought into God's house, he's going to come for them, and he's going to come soon. And that rupture that has been made in death is going to be made final forever. And this is why Jesus uses at the very beginning of John 11 that sweet name for death. Death is not sweet, but he gives it a sweet name so that we would know. Lazarus has fallen asleep. And the disciples don't get it. If he's asleep, he's going to wake up. And Jesus is like, you better believe he's going to wake up. But I mean, he's dead. And I go to awake him, to call him out of the grave. And he calls us now by his word to believe it. To believe not only that he could have saved Lazarus or our sick loved ones, and not only to believe that there will be a resurrection on the last day, but to believe that he is the resurrection and the life. Let these words sink in your ears and take deep root. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And Martha, who doesn't have a clue what's going to happen, says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. doesn't have a clue that Lazarus is going to come out with those grave clothes wrapped around him and need to be unbound and loosed. And doesn't have a clue that Jesus is going to step up on the cross and himself die and be laid in the grave and crack it open for good. You know why Jesus wept at Lazarus's tomb? He wept because he saw what death has done to us, to those whom he loves, and the way grief and sorrow take us. And he groaned under the weight of it, not because he didn't know what was coming, but because he felt the burden of what we go through. But he has come, and he has raised Lazarus from the dead, and he has done it that we might believe that he was sent by the Father to win the victory over death and to be our hope in the present time. I know it's easier to believe these things from a distance. When none of our loved ones are sick and we haven't been to a funeral in a long time, it's a lot easier to believe this than when we're standing by the bedside of someone who is dying. But he wants us to hear it then as well. Lazarus, come out. He's calling to you. Come out of darkness and into light. Come out of death and into life. Come out of the realm of the dead to he who is alive forevermore. Come out of despair and sorrow into hope. Truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus said, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Lazarus heard it and came out. Jesus has come out never to die again. And he is coming soon. And he will raise the dead. And they will live with him forever. And until then, we have Christ with us now. We have the resurrection and the life here. We have his word in our ears and his body and blood in our mouths. And we have his spirit making us alive. Until the day comes when life will reign forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.